Hey everybody, this is Mike Wilmot with Microsoft, and in today's SQL Shorts, we're going to cover down on a topic that's been super popular on the Channel 9 site, on my area of that, and that has been configuring Microsoft Business Intelligence, specifically Power Pivot and SharePoint, on a virtual machine. The nuance for today is that we'll be looking at that same installation, but on a virtual machine running in the Microsoft hosted infrastructure as a service environment. So you can see my contact information here. I've also added Matt Smith, who is a technical specialist with Microsoft out of Arizona, and he did all the hard work of setting up and configuring and detailing all the steps in setting up one of these SharePoint BI instances in infrastructure as a service on the Microsoft Azure platform. And so what I'm going to do is kind of shim in the work he did on the installation video. He went through all the steps. And so what you'll see is that all those steps are the same steps that you would configure a virtual machine on premise, but with the added complexities and intricacies of doing that same work on an Azure virtual machine running up in the cloud. So you'll kind of see a superset of how to do one of these installations. If you want to do it on premise, you can just take that subset of steps that applies to setting up and configuring Power Pivot. But if you want to take this virtual machine and host it in Azure, that Azure virtual machine is also portable from off-premise to on-premise and on-premise to off-premise. So any work that you do to create a virtual machine is going to be portable from on-premise to Azure, as well as once that virtual machine's in Azure, then you have all the safety net that Microsoft provides in terms of things like geo-replication, backup, all the managed services that you get up in Azure, and all the things that you can do to extend that machine, to scale it, all that kind of stuff. So I'm gonna let Matt take over at this point and go through his demo. And what you'll see is all the steps detailed, and he does a great job of kind of showing how to walk through these steps. I actually went through these steps myself, set up a virtual machine up in Azure and for a customer. And they were super happy with it because, one, they don't have to deal with the maintenance of that virtual machine. And two, they get the added benefit of being able to, again, replicate it across geos, to take that intellectual property, to save it, to restore it, to extend it, as well as to clone it and do all the things you can do in things like Virtual Machine Manager on-premise. So there's a host of reasons why it's really smart to run a virtual machine up in Azure. And again, really appreciate all Matt's hard work that he did to both go through all these steps as well as detail them and share those with us. So without further ado, I'm going to pass over to Matt Smith. And if you want to look at his contact information, you can either ping him at Microsoft.com address here or his Twitter address. So thanks a lot. I'll let Matt take it away.
Hi, this is Matt Smith with Microsoft. I'm a business intelligence and data platform technology specialist based out of Arizona. And I'd like to do a quick video walking you through how to configure a Microsoft Business Intelligence environment in an Azure virtual machine. So this video will include the installation and configuration of SharePoint and the SQL Server Business Intelligence stack, in addition to Office 2013, and all of that, as I had mentioned, will be configured on a virtual machine that resides in Windows Azure, which is Microsoft's cloud platform. So to review the agenda, first thing you're going to want to do is sign up for Azure. Once you do that, we can set up the account, and then we're going to create a virtual machine. Once we create that virtual machine, we're then going to set it up in terms of the server settings and moving over the installation media. So SQL Server, SharePoint, and Office. And we're going to go out to windowsazure.com. And you're going to want to go to Portal. So if you have already set up your account, you're going to go to the Portal. Otherwise, you're going to go to Free Trial. So in my case, I already have an account. It's going to use, I'm going to put in the account information. And you see that on the left side, there's a virtual machines tab. So if we click on that, you'll be able to see the existing virtual machines that I have in place. So what we're going to want to do is create a new virtual machine. And we're going to want to go from the gallery, and we have two options. Azure provides a server already configured with Windows Server and SharePoint trial, so we're going to go with that one. Otherwise, you're just going to choose a Windows Server data center server, and then you're going to install SharePoint on top of that. Go to the next page. I can name this virtual machine, so we're going to say SharePoint SQL BI VM. In this case, we'll leave extra large, but you can see that we have other sizes available. Depending on the number of services you have running, you can probably install large. When I started to add additional features, then I had to bump it up to extra large. So if you're considering data quality services, master data services, some of those heavier activities will require additional resources. Keep in mind you're not handcuffed to this size, so once you've created your virtual machine, you then have the ability to change the size without impacting any of the installation media. So if you've configured your server and you're running into performance issues, you do have the ability to bump that up to a larger size as needed. So we're going to leave this at extra large for the time being. And then you choose your administrator or username. In this case, we're just going to use Matt, because that's my name. And type in a password. So we're going to just create a new cloud service for this virtual machine. We're going to choose where we want it located. We're just going to choose West Europe for this one. We're going to use an automatic storage account, and we're not going to put it in an availability set. Virtual machine configuration, this is more the networking imports, so we're not going to mess with anything here. We're going to click the check mark, and now Azure is going to create this virtual machine. So you can see here that it's starting, it's actually provisioning that. And if I click at the bottom, I can see the activities of what it's actually doing at this time. So once this is done, maybe 5 to 10 minutes, then we will be able to start to build out that server. As you can see, the newly created virtual machine is now running, and you can see the status that it has been successfully provisioned. We can actually go within the properties of that virtual machine and see the dashboard for it and its activities. Right, so you can see the resources that it has, the resources that it's consuming. You can also see the public IP address. So this is what we're going to want to use to connect to that virtual machine, because we need to move content up. If we simply click connect, it's going to instantiate a remote desktop connection for us. It doesn't allow us to modify the properties of the connection, so if we want to share a drive from our host machine to the virtual machine, we're not able to do that. The endpoints, it will tell us which port it's running on. So by using a combination of the public IP address and the port, we can then do a remote desktop connection into the virtual machine. Let's take a hop back to our presentation and see where we're at in terms of our agenda. So we covered 1, 2, 3, we have also covered. Collecting the media is just a matter of finding the ISOs for the software that you want to install. So we don't need to show anything there. So what we're going to do now is we're actually going to do a remote desktop session out to that virtual machine. So by doing a Windows key R, we'll bring up our run window, and we do Microsoft Terminal Services Connection, MSTSC. That will open a remote desktop session for us. So what we can do is we can go back to that dashboard and get the public IP address. I'm just going to do a copy on that and paste it here. Then I need to go to the endpoint and get that remote desktop port, so 58036 and show options. So in this case, I want some local resources. So if I go to more, I just want to make sure that the drives are selected. So these are my host drives. So I'm just going to select both of those, and now I can access these drives on my host machine from my virtual machine once I connect. So I'm going to connect to that virtual machine, and it will open that up for me. So now this is where I need to connect with the account that I created when I set up the virtual machine. So if you remember, I used a username of Matt and then my password. Now I can connect and it should open up that remote desktop session for me. Yes, I want to accept this. So as it starts to start up the services, if I open up a File Explorer window, you should be able to see my host hard drive in that list when I select my computer. So you can see this is the host drive on my laptop. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to open my USB hard drive that I have my installation media on. I'm going to plug that in. It'll pop up in the server, and I'm going to copy that across. So that'll take a little while. So generally, that's something I might do overnight. Now that we have our installation media copied over to the virtual machine, let's take a look back at our agenda. While step 6 is not necessarily required, it certainly makes managing security and users much easier, in my opinion. You can do this by using Windows users and groups, but in this case, I prefer to create a domain and set up the server as a domain controller. So what we'll do is we'll add some features in Windows Server, and then set that server up as a domain controller and add it to the domain. So in the Windows Server dashboard, if we go over to Manage, we're going to add roles and features. I click Next. We want to do role base for this server. So we're going to want to do Active Directory Domain Services, and then we're going to add all the associated features with that. And then we're going to want to do DNS Server. While we're not going to configure the DNS Server, we're going to add those features and roles. This is telling us that we don't have a static IP, but that's okay. It's not going to affect us for this. So I'm going to click Next. 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 Install. So what it's going to do is it's going to add these features. We're going to do a restart or two. Then we're going to promote that to a domain controller. And then we're going to add it to the domain. Okay, after an update and a restart, you can see that there's an alert or a notification on our dashboard that says promote the server to a domain controller. So we're just going to click that really quick. And we're just going to walk through the wizard. We're going to create a new force. So let's call it Corp AzureBIIS.com. Oops. Next. We're going to do Windows Server 2012. We're going to create a password for the restore mode. That's okay. Take defaults for the rest. Next. And install. So this is going to take a few minutes, and then it might require a restart as well. And finally, we will add the computer to the domain. Okay, after one more restart, we're back into our server. If we go into the local server, you can see that promoting it to the domain controller also added it to the domain, which is that corp.azurebiiis.com. And now it's time to do some installation. So let's take a look at our agenda really quick. So we set up the domain controller, we enabled the DNS and Active Directory, added it to the domain. Since we chose the SharePoint evaluation, we don't need to do step 7. But if you chose to use the bare metal Windows Server image, you simply run the install for SharePoint 2013. Pretty much accept all the defaults. You're not going to configure SharePoint 2013 yet. We're going to let the Power Pivot tool do that for us. We're going to run the Power Pivot for SharePoint installation and configuration. After that, we're going to do the configuration of any of the additional SQL Server instances, and then we should be good to go. So I'm going to go over to my temp directory, and I'm going to run setup. OK, Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to go to installation. We're going to do a new SQL Server standalone or add features. Everything passed, so we're going to click OK. Looks like we passed all the prerequisites, so we're going to click Next. In this case, we're going to do SQL Server Power Pivot for SharePoint, and we're going to add the relational database engine as well. Click Next. Clicks Next. So what I did is I basically had the service run under this administrator account that I created on the server. I put in the Windows password. Not necessarily best practice, but since everything is on a single server at this point, we're just going to have it run under that account. You're going to want to make sure that the current user, which is the Matt account, is also the administrator on the database engine. Same thing for analysis services. Looks like everything passed. And we'll install. Okay, as you can see, SQL Server installed successfully here. So we're going to close that out. And we're going to close out the SQL setup. And what we're going to do is we're going to run the Power Pivot configuration tool. You'll see there's one for 2013, so we're going to select that one. And we're going to configure Power Pivot for SharePoint. Click OK. So basically, we just have to fill in a few fields in here and click Go, and everything will install for us. So enter a password. And we're going to use the same server for Excel services as the Power Pivot that we configured in this installation. So, and we'll click Validate once that's all complete. As you can see, all of the flags on the left are green. So right now you can see it's creating the Excel services application. Great. Now we're ready to go. Yes, I want to continue. This is going to take a little bit of time here, and it may require a restart as well. Once we're done, then we can start configuring SharePoint and installing the additional SQL Server instances if we want to run multi-dimensional analysis services as well, or possibly tabular. For our next installation of SQL Server analysis services, you can see the prerequisites passed successfully here. So we're just going to go through and we're going to do a new installation of SQL Server. And we're going to do a new instance. We're going to do feature installation. So in the SQL setup, we're going to select analysis services, reporting services for SharePoint, and then we'll select the reporting services add-in for SharePoint products as well. The next screen is going to ask us what we want to name that instance. We're not going to name that one. It can just be the default because we have both analysis services and reporting services on it. Remember, the Power Pivot instance will have the Power Pivot version of analysis services. And then the only additional thing we might want to add is a multi-dimensional instance of analysis services because we can't install two versions of analysis services side by side. So this one we're just going to do the default instance. And then once we get done with this, we can install Office, create a quick Power Pivot workbook, and then upload it to SharePoint. So I'm just going to have this run under Matt as well because that's the server administrator. So I'm just going to set the administrator to corp/mat and put in my password as that's the server administrator. This one we're going to want to do tabular mode as I mentioned, and we're going to add that current user to be the administrator on that. And we're just going to install the SharePoint integrated mode. Once we do that, we can then go out to SharePoint Central Administrator and configure the reporting services. Okay, our installation of analysis services and reporting services have succeeded. So let's go back to Central Administration and enable Reporting Services. Okay, now that SQL Server is installed, Analysis Services and Reporting Services, we're going to go into Central Administration, Application Management, and create a new service application for Reporting Services. So as you see New, we can go down to Reporting Services Service Application. I'm going to call this SSRS App. We're going to call this SSRS Pool. Database server will just select the default. And don't forget to check this box as this applies it to the the web app that we've already created, that SQL BI VM. So now it's creating that service app for us. Okay, you can see that the service application configuration has succeeded. And if I wanted to go provision some reporting services, subscriptions, and alerts, this is where I can do that. So as you can see, I now have my service application running. So let's pop back over to our agenda. And you can see that we've configured PowerPivot, we've installed analysis services tabular mode and SSRS integrated mode. We've created the service application for SSRS, so we're now about to create the content types to the document library. And then finally, this is an optional step. It's basically the same thing we did for tabular, but you can just check the multi-dimensional box or radio button instead of the tabular, and then install Office. It's time for us to create a site collection. So we're going to call this BI Portal. And here we'll add BI Portal. We're going to choose a PowerPivot site, since that's the majority of the content we're going to have here. We're going to add our built-in administrator. Click OK. So it's going to create a site collection for us. And then we're going to go out to our PowerPivot library and add the additional content types. Okay, our site collection's been created, so we're going to go out to it. And if we go into site settings, you'll see we have reporting services section in here. This allows us to add the remote errors in local mode. I'd recommend doing this for troubleshooting. You'll get the more verbose error messages. Now if we go to our document library, we can go into library settings, and we're going to want to go into the advanced settings. We want to allow management of content types. And then we're going to add from existing content types. So we're going to want BI Semantic Model Connection. We're going to want a PowerPivot Gallery document. We're going to want a Report Builder, Model, Report, Data Source. Okay. And those are the additional content types that we're going to want. So now when we go back to our library, we have the ability to do a new file, and it'll give us those content types in here. We could also do the same thing for the PowerPivot Gallery, add the report content types. The only consideration here is that you don't get a thumbnail of those documents like you do the PowerPivot documents. It's just something to consider in terms of what you want that user interaction to look like. So that's really it. Now we are ready to install Office and create documents, upload them here, manage the scheduled refreshes. So let's take a look at what we did. We set up the Azure account, we created the new virtual machine, we moved our content out to the server, we set up the server as a domain controller. We didn't need to install SharePoint because it was already installed on the server, but you could if you wanted to go off of a blank server operating system. We then installed and configured PowerPivot for SharePoint. We configured that using the PowerPivot configuration tool. Make sure you use the 2013 version. We then installed SQL Server Analysis Services in tabular mode and Reporting Services in SharePoint integrated mode. We created the Reporting Services service application. We added the content types to our library. We didn't do the multidimensional, but you can do that in addition. And then finally, you would just do a basic Office installation. So really what you have now is an on-premise BI environment for you to work in SharePoint with the latest SQL Server Business Intelligence tools, as well as Office. Hope you enjoyed the video. Thanks for your time.